Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh!
Let him play!
He wins. Great steak. Smells like poop.
Honestly, like, if Urban Meyer wants to come to Connecticut, bring him on. I mean, come on. I'll take him, too.
Nia Jackson, I think, weighs 280 pounds.
Oh!
Can we isolate that clip? Nia Jax weighs 280 pounds. Oh!
Let her play.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big A to Z show from the Dave in the City studios in Southern California. We're glad to have you with us for the continuing series of this anthology. And tonight on the show, we're going to have our friend Kevin on the Cape back for a shorter show. This is only going to be a 30-minute show, so we won't waste too much time with the particulars and the theatrics. And tonight on this program, we do want to address something that's been going on in the sports media. And when you don't have sports, the sports media has to respond as well. We've been doing it with this anthology. They've been doing it with a lot of hijinks. And that brings us up to the letter E in our series. Up to the letter E. All right, so we're just going to do a quick show to bring up some of the ESPN nonsense on their website and on their networks during the coronavirus pandemic. So they don't have games to talk about, right? They had a little NFL news to work with last week, and now they don't even have that. So they've resorted to stunts and things, and Junkman's going to tell you a little bit about that. But the big topic, I think, on their website is the all-time best college basketball player March Madness bracket, and I'll tell you, it sounds about as lazy as their best quarterback of all time bracket, and so let's dive into the particulars here with our friend Kevin on the Cape, and it's good to have him back for a little bit. How's it going, Kev?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine, and thank you for coming on here for this shorter program. So you alerted me to a lot of this rubbish that we've been talking about. I mean... You have this bracket, right? And it's got all these players who played college basketball, and they're matching some of them up against women's players, and they're matching them up with people from like 50 to 60 years ago. And yeah, it just seems like a real mess. So, you know, when you saw this, and you told me about it, so obviously you're already up on the scene, but it just seems like a really convoluted way to get attention. And it reminds me so much of the quarterback bracket. Let me get your feeling for how this all came about and what you think of it.
It must have been, you know, a Monday, you know, meeting with an editorial meeting where they just throw out these ideas. And I don't think there's any grown-ups left at ESPN, Dave, because this is something that you and I and Andy and Tom would have like been like drunk or stoned or whatever your thing is, if we were roommates in college.
Yeah.
And we would just come up with this totally ridiculous thing. And it would have been fun and clever for us for like one night out at the bar. But I mean, they have this, all these huge multimedia packages and stuff. And it is so dumb. but you know, like you just alluded to, there's, you know, Rebecca Lobo against Grant Hill. I don't even know what that means or what that would look like.
No, you're right.
You're comparing the eras, which, you know, outside of, you know, Walton and Alcindor, fine. But most of it is in the, and that's the other thing with ESPN always goes on and on about like the ESPN era. This isn't even, they're going back before the ESPN even existed. They were so little on the news side anyway. They were, you know, in the 80s, they actually had some real news people. And even in the 90s, there were some real news people. And then it slowly, slowly got withered away and became this kind of shout and scream and Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith and all those kind of things. And then in 2017, that was the nail when they laid all the press with the layoffs, the 500 people, I think, who lost their jobs. everybody focused on the Chris Bermans and the those high-priced, those handful of guys. But what happened was 200 news people lost their jobs. The last group of people who really cared about, you know, getting sources and cultivating sources and putting some real news on there. It's sports, but it's also, you know, your show is a perfect example. It crosses over sports and life and everything, and it's just beyond. It's so bad now, and this is sort of, you know, I've spent a few years doing this for different websites, but I mean, you even go down every once in a while. You know, you go to the main page, the headlines, and I know this is going to sound silly, and it's, I guess it could sound like a nitpick, but, you know, you look at I think they have a 6 headline. We used to have 8 at NBC, but I think they have 6, their top headlines. And almost every day, one of them runs over, and it's like a 2-line headline. I don't know if I'm explaining this well to your listeners.
No, I think I know what you're talking about, because you know, it should be on
Kobe
one
Bryant
line.
Dies in helicopter crash or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just because that's the most latest one. It'll say, you know, it'll run over. So it'll be like Brian and his daughter, and it goes, and it just looks horrible on the thing. And it's fine if that's there for a second. I get it. I used to do those same things, and I was a Word guy. I was an editor. I was not a computer guy, but I had to make packages for Major League Baseball and for NBC. So there were times where it would go over. But they leave them up, meaning they're on there for hours sometimes, and they're not corrected, which doesn't mean that they're doing it purposely. It's either they just don't have the people. They just cut. They spend so much money on the football and stuff we've all talked about in different ways, but it just comes down, it's not a respectable news organization. And I guess people don't really look at it for that, but some people do, and they do claim to do those kind of breaking stories. But the March Madness thing that you said, I mean, totally lazy. This is what happened. This is another one of the reasons why I don't work in this industry anymore, probably, is that if I was in that meeting, I could not have bit my tongue. I could have not. There's no chance I would have made somebody angry, probably somebody whose dad is a VP, because I did that too. And I would have been like, this is the dumbest idea I've ever heard.
yeah.
And I've heard a lot of dumb ideas, and I've had some dumb ideas, but I don't even, there's no rhyme or reason to it. It would have been easier if you put 64 players from the ACC, or there's no continuity. There's like Jimmer Fredette is going against, I think, Bill Russell or something. Like it's just so dumb.
Let me look that up.
But people will click on it and vote. I tried to, and I can't even figure it out, Dave. That's the other thing. So like I try to see what it is and see like what the votes are, and it'll send you to Twitter or it sent me to Instagram once, and I couldn't find anything. I couldn't vote for anybody. I did find it on Twitter eventually, but I only found one bracket.
I know what you mean.
So
I could only,
and I was hesitating to vote on it because I didn't want to be part of this thing, but I wanted to see the results. So you can.
That's a good point. Like, I don't mind you right up, but I was just looking for the bracket, and I couldn't find the whole thing. I just found one region, and then I had to scroll through a bunch of fluff tweets, and then I found another one on the SportsCenter Twitter. It's very badly organized. I'm like, it says you can vote here, so I click it, and it's like, okay, it takes me to a tweet. But what happens if you just want to see the actual bracket? And it doesn't show you the whole thing. It just shows you a bunch of them. So, look, say what you will about when we did the fast food bracket and we did the video game tournament, but there's continuity in those. We were very
specific. Absolutely, there was.
Yeah. And we definitely set boundaries, and we gave you the bracket. Like, every time that we updated it, we would say, here's the bracket, and it showed you the whole bracket. And it's like, I don't really understand what the point here. They just assume you're going to be following at SportsCenter and that only column the whole day. It's like, I don't understand. It is pretty badly organized.
And I'm not sure if I'm supposed to, because, you know, it's March Madness. You know, that sort of, they probably took a couple of the guys who are supposed to, you know, do some background on these teams, and they gave him this job to do. But I'm not sure if I'm supposed to vote based on who was better in March or who were better in the careers. It's the kind of thing where it's dumb, right? We both agree it's a stupid idea. However, if you're going to go through with it and you're going to write all these little captions, don't do it half-assed. Make it easy to understand and easy for people to play along. Like, don't just mail it in. I agree. I'm of the opinion that this is so dumb, and if I was in charge, I never would have got there. But if you do make the decision to do it right. Don't throw, like, two paragraphs of a lead-in. And, I mean, there are a lot of basketball nerds who probably love it, but even there would look at it, and they're like, I don't even understand what this is. And why do you even need West and East? And they're single players. Like, just, it's a shitty idea that was done shitty, so which that makes it worse. If it was a crappy idea and it was done professionally, and I mean, if people thought we were ridiculous when you did your fast food, that's fine. But no one can say it wasn't done well.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I think the testament to that was the response, right? Like, we saw that so many of our friends really get into it, and we had like literal debates about like Wendy's versus Subway and things like that, and I remember the controversy when Double Dribble got voted in over Super Mario Brothers 3, and it kind of exhibited the bias.
Yeah, that was awesome.
You love that. I know you love that.
But like Anthony Davis versus Jerry West, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
I don't even understand what that's supposed to look like.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird one. And why is Jerry West seated like 13th in that situation, right? That didn't make any sense either.
I was able to. Now I got it now. Anthony Davis is actually beating... Or actually, is it over? It's over. He beat Jerry West. So good for him.
Good for him, but it's like, what does that mean? But like you said, what does it mean? Like, they're saying, who's the better college basketball player is what they're trying to say, I think. And
I guess, yeah.
And the thing with the women. Can you make that assessment after only playing a year, though? Like, he only played a year.
And the thing with the women, I mean, I don't even know some of their names. I know a few, like I said, Rebecca Lobo, that was, you know, that's my wheelhouse, the 90s there.
Right.
But just have a women's bracket. Like, this doesn't... Even the women are like, Rebecca Lowe's probably like, why the hell do I have to play Grant Hill? That's stupid. It's one of the most famous basketball players in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not relatable. Like, you know, women's college basketball in the 90s and early 2000s was like men's in the 60s and 70s. There was three good teams. They got all the players. Mm-hmm. And they just pounded the hell out of the other teams.
Yeah.
UConn was UCLA in the 60s. UConn in the late 90s. And so there wasn't even any real competition for them. Mm-hmm. It's sort of, that's why I've always, I know, you know, I give UCLA their credit and John Wooden and all that stuff, but it's always been a little skewed for me because there wasn't anyone else to play against. You know, there was a couple of guys, but they got all, the guys on the second team on UCLA they were the second best. The second string on UCLA, I guess what I'm saying, was the second best team in the country.
I remember this.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, those guys, in practice, they were the two best teams. So, and in UConn, same thing. The 10th and 11th, 12th woman on a UConn team for the girls, in the they were friggin' phenomenal. They could destroy anybody. You know, there was Tennessee, you know, every once in a while, but that was it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. ESPN is once again worthless. That's like you could substitute Doc Rivers in your opening, which, by the way, is still hysterical. That opening is still, I still laugh every single time. I've heard that how many times? Like 500 times?
Yeah.
Andy was like, tastes great or smells like poo? That kid is just the most unintentionally funny person I've
ever. He's tremendous. I can't wait to get him back. I'm just trying to figure out time and place with him because I know. He's in the middle of a lot of stuff in Seattle with coronavirus, so I'm hoping I'll reach out to him at some point. But since I'm not on Twitter that much lately, I don't even know what he's up to. So I'll text
him. I have a Twitter account. Maybe I could figure out who he is. I don't really on. I just got it just for like news purposes.
Wait a second. So you're back on Twitter because you were off it.
I was off of everything for a while.
Yeah, I remember that.
I'm actually. Like an idiot right now, I'm typing in Andy in Seattle, but I'm sure that's not his name, right?
I think you can go with Andy. You'll find him if you just put in Andy.
What? So how are your letter shows?
The A to Z shows have been, first of all, the response from everybody has been great. I really
That's awesome.
Appreciate it. I think everybody's really excited about the idea, and I bring it up, and various people have new ideas. In fact, my friend Coach and I have been in discussions for a future episode, and I really think this is a winner. Now, and I know that we talk about how silly some of these ideas are for best of all time this, best of all time that, Mount Rushmore this and that, but I don't think the concept of, I mean, uniforms in general have been explored, but the way we want to break down our personal, like, opinions of what the best ones are, we're going to break it down in three ways. We're going to do, like, top 10 our favorite uniforms of all time, just in general. Like, not necessarily, like, current uniforms or past. It's just either one. Like, so basically, for example, you would go the 80s 49ers jerseys. Like, those are great, right? And then you could go, after that, you mean like the Packers jerseys from the 90s when they had Brett Favre. Like, those are great. And kind of go from there. I don't know where you are with that, but me and Coach, we love the idea. And so we're going to do that. And then we're going to do like the five worst uniforms of all time. And that is going to have a lot of good choices. Like, you can imagine do you remember like the Bill Parcells Patriots, how ugly those jerseys were? They were terrible.
So you're doing just the NFL?
Yeah, just the NFL. We just want to keep it simple.
Okay.
Yeah. So, because that would be a long show if we did it like other sports, like that, like the baseball one should be its own show. Like, that's an entirely
good, yeah,
yeah. That'd be a really good show.
I was gonna say, you said worst jerseys ever, and I just have the image of the White Sox with the collared shirts and the shorts.
Yeah, that's pretty hideous. That's pretty bad. That's a good one. That's a good choice. Yeah.
So you're not gonna do like the, you know, they have like the alternate third jerseys that they wear that are always weird.
You know, he brought that up. He was like, color rush should be on there. I'm like, we don't do third jerseys with that. Cause that's just, that's,
yeah, thanks.
Right. Cause it's like, that's not technically a jersey. That's just kind of like an alternate look that's used once in a while. That color rush was brutal.
Yeah.
Like, I think if we did that, like, all of them would be color rush, you know, if we allowed color rush.
Yeah, there was one where like the Steelers looked like they were in prison, like wearing prison, or it was weird.
Yeah, it was weird. And they think they're going to keep trying to do that. Like, with the future years to come, they're going to keep doing it. But
there was two times where, like, if you were colorblind, you couldn't distinguish between the two teams. Like, yeah, it was a total disaster.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think anyone said a positive thing about it up to now. So it's like,
but I like your idea. This is a good idea.
Yeah, I think we're going to do a very good job with it. I have confidence in that. Coach has done a great amount.
You could throw in like just some, like a rule, like the team had to wear the jersey for a whole season, you know? So you get rid of.
I think so. Yeah.
There's some people who did. Like, didn't the Cardinals do? Remember the Cardinals were like black one year, and everyone was like, "What the hell is this?" But it was for a whole year. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That must have been recent. That must have been like in the last 15 years.
Yeah. It was. I'd say it was in the last 10, probably.
Yeah, I think so. But pretty much from the point that Kurt Warner got there, and then from that point on, so basically as long as Larry Fitzgerald's played for them. So, yeah, that didn't surprise me. I think it would work probably better with them than a lot of teams, but... And then the Ravens, too, they can get away with it. So that's fine. But it's still kind of... I still like the purple ones more. I think those are better. But so that's what we'll get into. We'll get in a lot of those, like, and
nice.
Then go from there.
That'll be a good show.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. So that'll be the N episode, NFL uniforms, best and worst of. And then we'll do like our, similar to what NBC did with the best players to play for any franchise during the year when they were doing the 100th anniversary of the NFL. We're going to do a similar thing with the uniforms. Like, these are the best jerseys, the best era of this particular franchise's jersey. And we'll try to go through as many of the teams as we can. So, like, some of them are easy. Like, because they don't change them, like the Packers, like all of them, because it's like they're all pretty good. But
right,
and then you know the Niners. Like I said, the '80s ones are probably great. The ones they wear now are pretty close, so those are good too. And your team, the Giants. What's your favorite Giants era of jersey?
Oh, I don't know. I remember the whole uproar when they switched the helmets and they went with, like, you know, that lowercase NY, because it used to just be like the block Giants spelling.
Yep.
I actually, even from the start, I liked the lowercase NY. I don't know. I've never been big into that the jersey kind of stuff. I think the ones that they had when they were when I was a kid were kind of cheesy. They weren't the ones in the, like the Eli Manning ones. I thought are way better than the Phil Simms ones. If that.
Yeah, I think I would take a leaning towards that era too. And the ones they basically the ones they wear today for all intents and purposes. And those are actually throwbacks. They actually throw back to the 60s and 50s when they used to wear the same stuff. So I like it. I like it too. The little NY is I'm a fan. Especially the home ones, like just plain blue. It's a stately look. Yeah. And then you got the pants, which like the plain brown, I guess.
I think you're onto something with that. I'm starting to think about the Pat stuff from the what's like the early mid 90s, the Bledsoe. Mm-hmm. It was pretty bad. Like it was the silver one. They were like almost all silver. they looked like Nick Cage in the Honeymoon in Vegas when they're all like jumping out of the plane. Were they like the Flying Elvises or something?
Yeah. They are absolutely terrible. Like, and then the Patriot logo with the face and the hat just takes up like the entire shoulder of the jersey. Like, it just is like it's huge. It's like, what are they thinking doing that jersey? Just absolutely terrible. Yeah. So that you get the picture. We'll get into a lot of that. So let's. How are you? How is the family? How's Cody's in the new room? How's he handling it?
He's doing pretty good. We're on night number four. First two nights. Yeah, I've been sleeping on the floor and right next to his bed. Last night was the first night his little baby monitor thing just started moving. He's been sleeping in our bed for the first 17 months. So it's then we were on a roll, and then we went on a vacation, and we extended the vacation. So it just became this, like, 2 weeks in hotels. Everything got screwed up. So back to square one, but it's kind of cool. So I hang out in his room for the most of the night, starting, like, 10:30 probably. I'll go in there and be in there for the rest of the night. It's awesome. It's like a little mini version of me that I get to be a roommate with for a few hours every night.
That's really cool. Yeah, he really is. Like, you sent a picture of him to me and Tommy and
oh my god, that he was ridiculous. I was like, dude, can you go to sleep? I have some people I want to talk to in 20 minutes, and he's smashing my head and throwing books at me.
He is you. He's just like you.
Yeah, he is. He's a little sarcastic little prick. He is. Yeah. He's like me. You're right.
That must be an honor.
Like, no. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I know. I think, and he's a sweetheart for 95% of the day, but then he's like, oh, Dad has to do something? All right. It's like, and we don't give the kid sugar, but it seemed like someone did that night. I don't know who.
Oh, is that right?
Or, you know. Probably snuck some cookie somewhere. But then again, he can't because Vernon can't go out.
Right, right. But you know what I noticed? It looks like he can walk now. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. He's been walking for a long time.
Wow.
He's running. He's running out in the snow today.
Yeah.
Which it snowed today, by the way, over here. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
And, yeah, he's probably, I don't know, I think it was right before he was a year old. I can't remember now. But, yeah, he's walking and talking and saying all this. He's trouble.
Oh yeah, I guess it's getting. You're getting into those terrible twos now.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that, and I feel like they've already started. They're about 6 months early.
Yeah, so.
But like I said, it's only 10. It's like 10% of the time. He's sweetheart for most of the time. So
that's good.
I can handle a couple little temper tantrums. No big deal.
Yeah, I mean that's just part of raising a child, right? So.
Yeah, you just gotta keep. You just don't. Yeah, I think the most. Thing I've learned the most is how much they like play off you too. Like just your energy and your emotions. If they're doing something crazy or bad, or if they get hurt, and if you're just kind of calm and they don't know anything, you know. They literally don't know anything. So they take all their cues from their parents or from, you know, adults, or, and, you know, he tumbles on his head and you want to, like, you want to scream and be like, oh my God, are you okay? You run over and pick him up, but that actually makes things worse. If you kind of just matter, you know, obviously if there's something really bad, you're not an idiot, but you kind of take a deep breath and deal with the situation, and they just chill out. I mean, I think a lot of this, you know, these, like, the tantrums and stuff, I mean, I don't know. This is my first one. I don't want to be like I know everything, but it's more on the adults, I think, than the kids. Like, when the kids freak out and the kids are screaming and everyone's like, oh my God, that kid is such a little brat. And I feel like it's more like the parents are not stepping up, or they're making matters worse.
Well, it's tough to do, right? It's easier said than done to try to be even killed.
Exactly. You're right.
I understand that, you know. So.
Yeah, because you have a bad day that has nothing to do with anyone in your house, whether work or friends or someone's, you know, girlfriend, you know, sort of whatever, brother, sister, and then you bring it home and kid just wants to play with you, but then the kid is all excited and he knocks a glass over and it breaks and you freak out, you know?
Ooh, that's so creepy. Yeah.
You like those kind of things. Kid just was excited to see his dad and now you're screaming and whatever, but yeah, that's about what's going on over here.
Okay. Well,
And a whole lot of coronavirus.
Yeah, so. A whole lot, and we'll continue to chronicle some of that too. In fact, a lot of it as we continue this series. So the anthology is kind of two things. It's kind of like us getting a chance to talk about stuff, but it's also like documenting the pandemic in a way from the eyes of all of us, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. It's quite a time to be alive, really. I mean, I don't know. You're working from home, right?
Yeah, still working from home. So we're good there. I've been at it for about a week and it'll be about a week and a half by... I'm trying to remember, because that really was just a week and a couple days ago, so
yeah, right. It's long.
Yeah, it's crazy. It feels like it's been much longer, but I'm not even two weeks into this yet, so that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yep. It's when you have a little change in routine, or I think we talked about it last week or something, and I mentioned it to you. I try to explain people. Like, you have no idea how long a year is until you stop drinking. And I don't know if I said that to you last week. Sometimes I think I told you my memory gets a little messed up these days. But I said that to someone, and it just totally, I didn't say it blow their mind, but we were talking about different things and changing your routine and your lifestyle. And, oh, man, it's not even Friday yet. And I'm like, listen, stop drinking. And these are people who live like me, and, you know, I don't know what other people do who don't drink. I'm not really, but you stop for a year, you have no idea how long a year is. So you can't use booze as a social thing or a stress relief thing or a celebratory thing, because it's just everywhere.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That was like my first eye opener.
Yeah. That sounds tough. I mean, I've not tried that yet. I've not tried to be off of booze for that long a period of time. I can only imagine how difficult that would be.
But once you do it, and after that first year, I think, especially if you're not, you know, like chemically, like I probably had to stop, but I wasn't like waking up in dumpsters or something. but I mean, outside of, you know, college, but after that first year, the first few times you go out and the first two times you realize, oh, I don't have to have a drink to, you know, talk to my friends, or maybe I have new friends because these guys are dicks, because you're finally sober around and you realize it's a bunch of assholes they are. Then it's easy. Now, I still love my favorite thing in the world. When we went out, we've been out twice since when we were in California. My favorite thing in the world is to go out. I love restaurants. I love bars. I love how the lighting is and how the guys or girls, I love the servers, you know, the service, which kind of like fixtures they pick, what kind of stuff they have on tap and what the wine list, what the menu looks like. I love all that. I love everything about the entire process. And just now I don't drink anymore, so it's a little bit weird. But after you get to the first few times and you order a seltzer or a club soda, it's easy. It's totally easy. People still look at me strange. I mean, it's pretty funny. But and then when my wife, who likes wine, red wine or beer, you know, you'll order beer, you know, and there's places, you know, like someone else brings you a drink out, not your waitress, you know, like the bartender or the runner or whatever. They always put the beer in front of me every single time.
Really?
And I'm like, dude, I didn't order that. That's hers. I ordered the club soda.
Oh,
like,
wow. Biases. Look at that. Biases.
Total reverse biases. Just like, because I'm also the vegan in the family. Mm-hmm. So I'll order, you know, like the vegan dish, and they come out and they put it in front of her. And I'm like, that's mine.
Wow. Total
Every
biases.
Single time.
That is really funny. Yeah. So what happens with the check? Did they give that to you?
Yeah, I still get
that's
that.
That's cool. So. Very good. Well, I got a couple of questions for you. This is exciting because you've been asking a lot of questions of our guests, and now it's my turn. So this is quite a moment. So we'll get these. Let me start with question number one. All right, between the NBA, Major League Baseball, NFL, and the NHL, we'll limit it to just those four. Which of these leagues do you think will be the first to play games after the coronavirus pandemic has wrapped its course?
I feel it's going to be the NBA. I think the NBA is the easiest to get together. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know much about, like, the preseason in hockey, how long that is, like, how long these guys, mm-hmm. but it's much, oh, I don't know, they're both physical. Baseball, I think, is going to take forever because the guys are children and they probably are going to, union do something with the union where they need 30 days of whatever to get going.
They said they need to do another spring training, which I think is reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and football, I don't think it's going to last that long. So it's between hockey and basketball. And I feel like basketball, you know, it still is physical, but there's less people, mm-hmm. you know, travel's a little easier and, I don't know. You got to ice hockey in the summer. You probably have to like cool that arena down for like 4 days before. I don't know. I'm being silly now, but
yeah.
I would say the NBA. I feel like the NBA's got their shit together a little bit better than hockey. So they would kind of say, listen, you got 3 days. Go have a practice, go have a run through, and then, you know, let's tip it up and go.
Yeah. I think if things work, it's really hard to make this evaluation as we do record the podcast tonight, but let's assume that things improve enough to where they can start playing games even without fans by June. It would seem logical that they wouldn't even bother with the regular season at that point and just go right to the playoffs.
Right. Yes, I would think so. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's anybody that's currently tied for some kind of spot, but if there is, you know,
even
they
if they were, it's irrelevant. I mean, I've looked at the standings all year and the top three seeds are pretty much locked. Like, I don't think we worry about that on either conference.
I'm not worried about the seeds. I mean, like the eighth seed. If there has to be a team. Yeah, but if there has to be a team that has to be decided, they can still play a playing game or whatever.
Yeah, if they need to. I think the only where you would see that is probably between, let's say, Memphis and if they happen to be close enough. I didn't check where the eighth seed was, but maybe between Memphis and whoever's below them. Like, I think that's kind of close. So that's one, and maybe the Eastern Conference too. But honestly, when you think about who they're going to play, they're going to end up playing either the Lakers or the Clippers or Denver in the West. And in the East, you're talking about Toronto or Milwaukee or who's the other one? Maybe Miami or Philadelphia. And to me, it's like that's not really going to matter if you get in or not. Realistically, like I think they're going to want to decide it, but I mean. You know the team's just going to be meat for the other team in the first round. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I think that's about right. Like, I think I think that's if they. I mean, like you said, if there are any tiebreakers, they could decide them. I don't think it'd be a big deal. So let's go to the next one. All right, here we go. Sorry, I guess I started. Got a little speaking to the alcohol, but sorry.
Yeah.
Given the choice, here's the second question. Would you rather be forced to live in an RV and make a great salary in a job that lets you travel? Or would you rather make a meager salary but have a permanent house?
Oh man. Did you come up with that one?
Yeah.
That's terrific.
I was thinking like you.
Yeah, you did. That was you did. I think you did a good job with your channeling. That's terrific.
Thank you.
Because that's so. There's. You read the first half, and you've done. And I've done this before with questions you've asked, and I said, "You know, I don't even have to hear the second option. I'm taking the first." And then you say the second, and I'm like, "Oh, damn." And I think that's one of these, like, depending on where you're at in your life moments.
Yeah, yeah.
Because for 40 years, I would have said the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just talking about with my wife the other day. Like, I knew everything you needed to know about motorhomes. I did Class C motorhomes, are the ones with the bed goes over the driver's seat, you know, you see those ones that kind of have a little thing over the front, over the driving cab, you know, or Class A's are the big, like, trailers that, like, rock stars have that are like buses, you know. And these, I mean, I went to the store. I looked, I was so close, I'd say at least five legitimate times of buying one of those at some point and just getting in it and driving. I had atlases memorized and all those places I was going to go, and then something, you know, came up, or 1 year it wasn't such a good year for money wise, whatever. So, and then now we have this house and we're building an office for my wife. I'm painting this, and I'm, you know, last year we had a vegetable garden and the kid runs around, so that's, I'm torn, but in the spirit of the random question segment, you have to pick. So I think I would pick the motorhome.
Oh, you still even would pick with, the, wow.
I'm going to say that one. That was, it's really, really hard, because I like a lot of things about our house and mm-hmm. being in a neighborhood where, like, now when I go to places, people know who you are, and you have not really friends anymore when you get this age, but you have, like, acquaintances that you know what they do, and you know their wife's name and you know their kid's name. And I do like that aspect of it. But I still have, I think I'm still like a wanderer at in the deepest, you know, part of me. It always would be more comfortable. I mean, I still get such a rise out of when I travel for my wife's company, which is not as nearly as much as it used to be, but mm-hmm. and do an event and live in a hotel for a week and meet a different person every morning at breakfast and walk around a city. I don't do my, you know, cigar walks anymore because those are out too, but walk into town now, it's like jogging around. I still am a wandering soul, I think, at heart, so it would be the motorhome idea.
Look at that. Jackie staying true to his roots. So, I mean, I'm very thankful I asked that question, because I was curious about that. I really was. That's very interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, when we met you the first time, we were doing that for our company. We're in a food truck driving around mm-hmm. different city for every week for 3 months, and
yep.
that was one of the best summers I've ever had. I mean, top three summer ever.
I wouldn't know without living it, but based on what you told me, it sounds like it was that's very true, because you have so many stories just from that trip, including like when we met in Santa Monica. It's like, those are awesome.
Oh yeah. Just, yeah. I mean, I have like four or five stories just from walking around Santa Monica, waiting for you to get home from work.
Like, I remember that.
You know, I was in it. Yeah, I had, I mean, I was went to the cigar store just because I wanted to get something to walk around waiting for you, and my card wouldn't work. My ATM card wouldn't work because we were, you know, I guess I didn't tell them we were traveling or some horse shit like that. The guy, I ended up talking to the guy for 20 minutes. He gave me one on the house. I'm like, I'll come back tomorrow and pay you. And he's like, whatever. I got not accosted, but this like homeless guy was following me down the road for like a dollar until I finally gave him a dollar. And I'm like, dude, you got to leave me alone. And then I see him on the next block and he's got a friggin' phone that was nicer than mine.
Oh, is that right?
You know, jeez. Calling his ride. And I'm like, dude, really? We had the best fish tacos, I think, ever. And then we did your show and I watched the Dave Mush in little action.
Oh, it's like, right, yeah.
The Rangers have no shot, and then they score and win in overtime.
That's right. Yeah, that was on the show.
Like,
that's right.
Just and that was literally like 3 hours.
Yeah.
And there was five or six things that I can still remember and still see vividly to this day, which is good because that means my memory isn't totally going to the tank. And just the Santa Monica Pier and all that stuff. And then turns out my wife's one of her best friends lived around the corner from you, which is ridiculous.
Oh, I remember that. We're talking about real estate prices back then. And then you were shocked about the price of a house around there. Oh, I remember that.
Oh my God. Yeah. We saw her the last time we went. She had moved from her apartment. She bought a place, which I think is actually closer to you now than she was before. And she wouldn't tell us how much it cost. It's like, it was like three floors. One of those kind of complexes with 8 or 10 units in it. And when I got home, I went right on my phone. I'm like, it's like $2 million for this condo.
Yeah.
I was like, Jesus.
I know. Yeah. Yep. That's the truth.
But anyway.
Junkman, this has really been a lot of fun. Thanks for coming on for a short bit. And
yeah. My pleasure.
Yeah. And all the best to your family and everything. And future times in the show, hopefully. That Q episode will be fun. So looking forward.
Yeah. You got it, buddy.
All right, man. Take it easy. Have a good weekend.
You got it. Have a good night.
All right. You too. That's Kevin on the Cape. Now in like the middle of Massachusetts, I believe. And on we go. That's our show tonight. And coming up next on the A to Z series, we go to the letter F. What will F be? Find out in our next episode. I'm Dave Medina. You can find us on Twitter at DidCow, on the web at DidCow.com, and on Apple Podcasts, look for Dave in the City Out West. Subscribe and give us a good review. Thanks for your continued support. We'll see you next time. So you wanna-